dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RAM, SIP, SIP. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. I am the Crypt Keeper. I'm not the Crypt Keeper. I don't know what the hell. I am a very bad, scary monster. Because today is 6606, the show of the devil. Oh, that's the worst opening ever, and it's not doing justice to one of our longtime friends but first-time co-host on the show, Right Coast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Stank.
That's not a scary voice. I'm on my own on this scary voice thing, aren't I? That's okay. The 666 episode. I can do the Beavis Crypt Keeper. Here's a little tale from my nutsack. I definitely can't keep that voice up the whole time because I'll end up straining my voice. I do have an iced tea handy, and I just have a little sip right there, but I'm not going to be able to keep that up the whole show. Luckily, I don't have to, because once again, we're continuing with one of our new changes to the show. Actually, more changes. We're going to continue the new format that we started last week, and even a few more. We're slowly integrating some changes in there, and one change that we've been talking about doing for quite a while now is moving the email section towards the end of the show, because we want to make sure that we give the main topic plenty of time. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, the emails will tend to run a little bit long, and we might have to wrap up the main topic early. So by doing this, we won't have to worry about that anymore. And to the same ends, we are also going to completely and utterly destroy the show and tell portion of the show. Because nobody really cares. Nobody cares what I'm doing. So we are going to move on to our first, and I think this will be our only topic of the day, because I think we got a lot of great people to talk about this topic, and this is a topic from the forums.
Yep.
And the short version is, what is your first computer? Now, you and I can talk about this, but I think it'd probably be better. You know, I've got the perfect person to start this section of the show, so why don't we turn it over to him and listen to a couple of our guests tonight, and then you and I will come back. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right, so here we go. And you know who the first person that jumped into mind when I thought, what was your first computer? Well, okay, he wasn't really the first person that jumped to mind, but since he doesn't really know how to use a computer. But I thought it'd been a long time since we had our good friend Decoder on the show. So Decoder, tell us, what was your first computer?
Wait, hold on while I light my cigarette, all right? Hold on. Can you hear that?
Yes, I heard the lighter.
All right. Oh, yeah. Did you ever mention how great smoking is?
We're not talking about your first cigarette. We're talking about your first computer.
The first time I ever smoked a cigarette. I remember it so clearly. I was 4 years old.
Oh,
with my grandfather. And he pulled out a pack of Cools. Oh. And he was like, you think you're a man? No. Anyway.
Is that where it ties into the computer? Your first time you used a computer was also the first time you smoked a cigarette?
It might have been.
Is that what led to the addiction?
I think they go hand in hand, really.
Exactly, exactly. So what was that first computer?
My first computer, actually, was an Abacus. I got it from an old Chinese emperor.
What was his name?
His name was, Zhang He or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know which emperor that was, what dynasty he was a part of, but he hooked me up with that. He was like, this is what we call a computer. And he's like, you can get lead by, abacusing it up. I'm like, all right, I'm down.
So that was before we actually had computer machines.
Oh, you mean, actual, machinery?
Right, the computer machine. I should have clarified. What was your first computer machine?
Oh, I actually I owned and operated a Sage radar system. I don't know if anybody's familiar with one of those.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's about, the size of a fucking building. And you're just, Unix version 1 or something. I don't even know.
What'd you do with it? Play Pong?
No, operated radar. What are you talking about?
Pong hadn't been invented yet?
No, Pong was definitely not invented yet. When that shit came out, crazy. People already had computers everywhere.
What kind of hacking did you do on a system like that?
On the Abacus?
Well,
yo, son, you don't even want to know.
Was it one of those Abacus was like the colored beads, or was it just
really
plain?
Yeah, I'll have the colored beads.
It was the Play School version.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was made out of wood. It wasn't one of them fake ones. What are you talking about?
It was one of those little plastic ones that's made out of recycled baby diapers or something.
Nigga, that shit was made out of wood, okay?
Oh, where did you plug it in at?
Wood and metal, all right? It didn't plug in. It was wireless, you see?
No, they had wireless back then?
Everything new and everything old is new again. The first computers were wireless. That shit was an Abacus. That wasn't fucking hardwired to anything. Talking about.
So the Abacus was the first actual portable laptop computer?
It definitely was. It was pretty, exactly. They come up with it. You know, it's actually a de-evolution. All these computer machines was a de-evolution. You know what I'm saying? Because you had the Abacus, which was small, portable, lightweight, wireless, easy to use. You know, and then they started coming out in the 1940s and 50s with these big goddamn monstrosities made out of fucking metal and wires and circuitry and other bric-a-brac. And, nobody really fucking could use them.
Did you just say bric-a-brac?
I stole that from The Simpsons. That's actually the episode with Smithers' father, and he goes into the reactor, and fucking Mr. Burns tells him to, not get in there because there's all sorts of atoms and other nuclear bric-a-brac.
Okay, whatever. That's a good word.
I'm sorry.
Like
The Simpsons is dope. I fucking try to, I try to reference it as much as possible.
I'm gonna try to use that word more often in my vocabulary now. So, hey, what kind of interweb speeds did you get on that thing? Did you get a high speed interweb access or what?
What are the Abacus?
Yeah.
Yo, that was as high speed as you could get because it was through your mind.
It was
instantaneous.
Well, that was in the early days of the web where there wasn't a whole lot of pages out there yet.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
There was only a few. It was mostly porn.
And MySpace.
Yeah, porn and MySpace. Don't forget about MySpace.
Oh, man. All right, well, I guess that's it. You heard
seriously,
it from...
my first computer was actually a fucking Tandy 1000.
Now, we're talking. See, a Tandy 1000?
Yeah, from Radio Shack. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I have the box somewhere. I don't have the computer anymore. It was one of those where the keyboard and the actual computer were one piece.
Right.
And it had a separate monitor, yeah.
Color.
It was beige.
No, but it was a color screen, color monitor.
Oh, no, it was a color monitor, yeah.
Right. It was Tandy 1000 color.
You said what color?
Right, yeah. So you went from the Abacus to the big vacuum-tubed room-sized computers and then to the Tandy 1000.
Yeah, then the Tandy 1000, which was a piece of junk. I didn't do anything on there but play that fucking game. What do you call it? It was some weird game.
Magus Beacon teaches typing?
No.
That's the latest
thing
ever.
And just to let people know how old school I am, I was on CompuServe, son.
Word.
When it was all text and shit. CompuServe.
Word up.
Fuck that.
I hear you.
CompuServe.
I've been
there. People don't even know what that is.
Been there, done that.
Well, of course you have, but I'm talking about the kids listening to your show. They have no idea what CompuServe. They're out Googling it right now.
Well, CompuServe got bought out by AOL.
Well, eventually, but I'm talking back in the days.
What about Prodigy?
I did not have Prodigy, but I remember in high school I had a lot of friends who had Prodigy, and they used to get all their homework assignments off of Prodigy.
See, that was until AOL opened up their little chat rooms, and then people started picking up 14-year-old girls on the interweb. And
on AOL, yeah. I had AOL One as well. I had AOL when you had to pay by the hour. It was like $5 an hour or some bullshit.
And everybody used to hop into the free area for tech support and hack their way to get free minutes.
It was, you know, there were all sorts of hacks on AOL One. I think, like, the AOL hacking pretty much ended after, like, 3.
Because AOL was, is, and always will be the sucksor.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, but what else was around then? Like, when AOL One was out, I mean, yeah, you could have Prodigy or CompuServe. They were still around at the time. I had CompuServe when AOL One was out, but I ended up getting AOL One.
And now here you are today, still using that same Tandy 1000 computer to access the interweb. So,
I still use my Tandy 1000. You know, I don't even know, like, seriously, I don't even know the specs on it. Like, because I haven't touched it for about 1,000 years.
You know what,
like,
though?
Like, the Earth was still, like, fucking molten, like, fucking lava the last time I touched that shit.
That joke is not far off, because you did use a 486 for the longest damn time.
Yo, you know what? Because I don't fucking care. What the fuck do you need computing power for? I'm not managing databases. I'm not playing video games. I'm not doing anything. I'm going on MySpace.
All you were doing was storing text files in plain text. And
that's
notepad.
It. That's all I do is I read text files and I fucking and I go on MySpace. And MySpace is fucking slow as shit anyway, so it really doesn't matter what kind of computer you have.
All right. Well, before we close up, you want to pimp your MySpace to everybody?
Everybody knows my MySpace. What the fuck, yo?
All right, just giving you the opportunity. So thanks, Dakota, for being on the show, and we're going to move on to somebody else who has something even older than an abacus.
All right, fuck you.
Later.
Later.
All right, so to get a different perspective on the question, what was your first computer, I thought I'd get a longtime friend of mine, someone who's never been on the show before, so we're going to take it easy here, but someone who brings a different angle and a different thought process to this. Mostly because she is from Argentina, and I thought it'd be interesting to find out what your first computer was from Argentina. So, Donthra, my friend, can you tell us what was your first computer?
Well, my first computer was a Texas Instrument. It was a TI-99/4A. It was poor baby. It was so small.
I actually had that computer, TI-99/4A, and it had, did yours have the little speech synthesizer on the side of it that would talk?
Yeah, you had to put, like, modules to do anything,
uh-huh.
And you only had basic, and you had 16K, I think.
Absolutely.
That's all you had. And the only thing you could do with that was programming basic, so that's how I started learning how to program, because that's the only thing I could do with it.
So you learned basic programming on a TI-99/4A.
Yeah, I mean, my first programming language was basic.
Actually, here's the very interesting thing, is that that is the exact same computer that I learned a lot of basic programming on. I had used some other computers before that, but I had that exact same computer, and to be honest, I also used that computer mostly for playing games. You put a little game cartridge in there, and you could play games on it a lot. So I did a lot of that. But I did.
You had the cartridge, and you could put them on. But I didn't have too much money to buy them, so I only had a couple of them.
Now, was Texas Instruments, were they very common in Argentina?
No, it was something very special. My dad bought it to me because he thought I was some kind of weird girl. Nobody had them, of course.
you were just a young hacker, or hackeress?
Yeah, it was weird from the beginning. You know how it is. You are born like that.
And it sounds like you have two young hackers there behind you as well. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
And I know for a fact that at least one of them loves to play on the computer. The other one's not old enough yet.
Well, the other likes to break them. Remember that the younger one destroyed the new computer with a screwdriver the first time I bought it.
Yep, that sounds like the beginnings
of
a hacker.
I built it one day, and the next day he came. I just left one of the pieces out, and he put the screwdriver inside and burned it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
Well, see, everybody knows that the hacker motto is you have to break it first before you can fix it and make it better. So that's very true.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
I'm coaching the scientist.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Donther, for being on the show. I appreciate it. And we will hear from someone else next.
Okay. You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
And I had to search high and low to find someone even older than me to be on the show. Dude, what a setup was that?
Yeah, my name is John Draper.
Not that old. Nope, our good friend Rax from one of the greatest shows of all time, Radio Freak America. How do you like that?
Wow, nice kiss ass.
There you go. See, I got to save it somehow. So, Rax, our question this week is, what was your first computer?
My first computer. My first computer, I actually have, it sitting here right on my desk. It's not the actual one that I had. You still with me?
Yeah, I heard a tone there. Yeah, I think you hit a button.
Yeah.
Okay, what was it again?
Anyway, no, it's not the actual one I had, but I was 5 years old. Okay, this is really going to date me. The year was 1967, and it's from Edmund Scientific Research. It was called the Digicomp 1.
Oh, you're making that up. There's no such computer.
Oh, yeah, it is. Google it. It's a search for Digi-Comp computer. And it was a 3-bit computer. It was a analog manual mechanical computer. Had these little camshaft looking kind of things and straws you put on. I didn't understand how the hell it worked then. I was 5 years old, right? I bought one a couple of years ago. I still don't understand how it works. But you ask me anything else about computers, and I can probably tell you. I have no clue how this is because it's mechanical, so it's not digital.
Now, you were 5 years old. You didn't know how to use that computer at 5 years old.
I had no freaking clue, but I knew it was a computer. And people thought I was bullshitting them when I saw it. They talked about this, and I was at the Boston Computer Museum one time, and they had the the old TV commercials, and they had this for this Digicomp 1. And I go, holy shit. So I contacted the curator of the Boston Computer Museum and found out what it was and so on and so forth. And anyway, they actually have them now for $55. It's Minds on Toys, MindsOnToys.com. You can get your very own Digicomp 1 construction set.
And
if someone figures out how it works, please email me and let me know because I have no freaking clue.
So you got you? Is that what you meant by you have one on your desk? You actually ordered one?
Well, I bought one on eBay just for the nostalgia, and I paid like $150 for it, and it has most of the pieces, but someone's reproduced it, and it's like made out of plastic and soda straws and wires.
And did you say it was 3K?
No, 3 bits.
3 bits?
Yeah.
What a strange three, an odd number like that?
Yeah. Well, we actually, if I hesitate to mention this, but we have someone at our local 2600 meeting who, an interesting character to say the least, but anyway, he started talking about the trinary numbering system, and I know if X-Logic's listening to this, he's going to be pissed at me if you're even bringing that up, but anyway.
Trinary revolution. Oh, man. All right, so 5 years old, fine, you had it, but that wasn't really like, what was the first computer you actually used or like worked or, you know, even at young age? I mean, I know a lot of hackers start at a young age and everything, but not five.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, now the kids can start at five potentially, but all right.
Well,
so
yeah.
Other than that, let's see, would have been ninth grade. We'd had this simulation business game thing that you would fill in these bubble in these like punch cards and run the stuff there. But the first one I got my hands on was a Commodore PET.
Ooh, wow! I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah. It was all about the PET, and it. You know, it had the lunar lander thing. It had all these
little...
Lunar lander
was the bomb, though.
Yeah.
Dude,
and
you never knew you could have so much fun with the arrow keys.
Oh, it was great, you know?
Oh, my gosh. And if people do not know what we're talking about with lunar lander, you definitely got to Google that one. Or go to Clov. I don't know if Clov would have it.
No,
it's on the list of video games, clov.org.
Yeah, haven't seen that one. Go check that out. But, you know, what gets me is, like, all these people have this nostalgia for all these old computers. Matter of fact, we got a guy at our meeting here in PHX. His Nick is RetroTech. He's all about the old computers.
Wow.
And you know, he just has all this old junk, and it's like people are all right. Everyone knows how old I am now, but anyway, people are like, "Oh, this is so great!" And the Atari 2600, man, that was so cool. And it's like, no, it wasn't. It was a piece of shit.
No, it wasn't. The 2600 was the bomb. All right, it wasn't like great or anything, but I can still to this day fire up Atari 2600 and play combat.
But the question is why?
Because you tank pong is fun.
It's nostalgia. Oh, ho, hum, ho. See, I lived all that stuff. I dealt with it. I had to support all that old crappy computer stuff. Well, not 2600s, but I had to support all that old crappy computer stuff, and like, you know, all these guys are going to, like, Goodwill, and, like, for $50 they get, you know, this Heath Zenith laptop thingy, and it's like, oh, man, this is so cool. Look at this. It boots for mom. I go, no, it's not cool.
It's nostalgia. Some people collect baseball cards. Some people collect comic books. Some people collect old computers. I mean, it's the whole nostalgia thing. You've still got a huge room full of your old Care Bears, so I don't even want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, but they're all wired, man. They have the little sensor eyes and everything. Yeah, yeah, I put those in people's houses. You know, yeah, it's great.
Like the, what was that Simpsons episode where they were walking and talking, like the Furbies or something?
No, you got me.
I don't know. Anyway. All right, so, like, what did you do with the pet?
Let's see, what did we do? We typed in programs, because everything is in BASIC.
Okay,
we played Lunar Lander.
BASIC is definitely a theme that we've heard so far from everybody. Everybody started with BASIC. These days, they don't even teach BASIC in a lot of places, unless it's Visual BASIC.
Yeah, and I don't consider that really the same, but, you know, and I've seen in computer museums and that, and don't get me wrong, I have a special place in my heart for old Cray supercomputers,
mm-hmm.
And I collect Cray memorabilia as much as I collect stuff, so I have, like, this low-pressure gauge from the Cray XM1, you know, because it was liquid-cooled, so they had a high-pressure and a low-pressure gauge. I've got that. I have a Cray lanyard, actually, that I wear to the conferences and stuff, and a Cray matchbook. I even have a pair, get this, man, tell me this isn't the shit, I get a pair of Cray boxer shorts.
Oh, get
I do. I'll take a picture of them. I'll put them up on the forum.
No, we don't wear them.
No, I don't wear them. I just have them.
I think you should wear that to Hope to the next conference.
Yeah, no. Okay, I'd rather see some eye candy wearing that if you can put that up, someone wearing it.
Well,
but
hey, you can work that
out. These are brand new. They're clean. They've never been used.
Sure they haven't.
Yep.
Come on now.
I'll turn them inside out. I'll take a picture to show you. No skid marks.
There's no way that I would have a pair of those and not have at least worn them once.
No. I may have, like, held them up, but it's like, no, it was the idea of having it.
Oh, man.
Cray computer. Matter of fact, you know, I would love to. This is what I wanted to do. Is think about it. It'd be great, like, get like an office thing in that somewhere, or, you know, work with the local university. Get like a Cray, and then, like, you know, have people work on a project to port Linux over to a Cray. Wouldn't that be the shit?
Well, it would be something.
Wouldn't it be the feces, the dung? I don't know.
Well, and actually, you know what else you might be able to... I just barely missed the punch card era.
Mm.
When I was coming up through high school and college, I just missed punch cards. Now, I can read punch cards, and companies I work for, a lot of the old mainframe stuff on punch cards, I've seen them, I've used them, I know how they work, but we had just switched
the A through I and J through K and the zone row and, yeah, all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
Herman Hollerith.
And I kind of freaked people out at the Fifth Hope, what was it, 2 years ago now, because I can actually read, they handed out punch cards to everybody when you entered, and I could actually read the punch cards without... They had them printed across the top, but I didn't need that. I could cover it up and read it slowly because you got to kind of add and figure out exactly what row stuff's on. But
right.
Now, did you actually ever have any kind of do anything with punch cards?
Actually, you know, I didn't have to. Where I went to college, we had a VAX 11780, but so I went to like a business-based, business and technology-based college, and a friend of mine at the local university, and they were doing punch card stuff, and I'd always hear all these horror stories about, you know, guys working on their programs and have this big old deck of cards, and they bring it over to load it, and they drop it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Anybody that dropped punch cards, oh, you just want to cry when you hear those stories.
Yeah.
Because in case anybody listening doesn't realize, those punch cards have to be in order. I mean, those are, instead of typing in your code in order, you're putting it in via punch card, but it has to be sequential. And if you drop them and get them out of order, good luck figuring out how to put them back together.
Yep.
It was a mess. All right, so, but what, like, when you got into college, at what point did you see or feel like computers were common, like that you started to see a lot of them? Was it like the early IBM clones, or was it...
Well, actually, before that was coming out and before it was popular, I had laid my hands on... where I grew up, there wasn't too many Apples, but there was a Unix computers, which was a Unix-based. and there was I got the chance to check out an Apple III, which I thought was a piece of crap. And so I got into there was a lot of Commodore, so got into a little bit of the VIC-28 and the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
But I shortly thereafter, I shifted into, I bought, this is great, it was a genuine first generation IBM PC. It had the cassette port on the back. Mm-hmm. It had a, I bought it from a high school science teacher who was upgrading. So it was a PC that was upgraded to an XT. It had a 12 megabyte internal hard drive with an external power supply. Because back in those days, the power supply in the IBM PC was about 60 watts. So like a light bulb, that's as much power as it drew. Mm-hmm. It had a color screen, a CGA color screen. I had a light pen.
A light pen?
Yeah, I had an AST quad RAM card on there that had all these extra features. And I, get this, man, I had it up to a whopping 322 kilobytes of memory or something like that.
Yeah, and at the time, though, that was an elite machine at the time.
Oh, man, it was smoking. And then I did something stupid. So I'm sitting there, you know, doing hard drives and, you know, understanding directories. So I'm setting up all these directories, right, and organizing everything. And it's like, wait a minute, I've got like 3 megabytes left of storage space. And then I, you know, had to do some research. Back in my day, we didn't have no internet to research this stuff, dang nabbit. But anyway, I found out that, you know, every time you made a directory, and I basically just, you know, kept working and checking it out, every time you made a directory, you had some overhead associated with that. So I had like 10 directories deep, and not only that, when I would change directories, it would take like 2 minutes to change from one directory to another. I said, no, this isn't any good.
So when, how many megabytes did you say were on that again?
It was a 12 megabyte internal hard drive, a Davong, D-A-V-O-N-G was the company, internal hard drive, external power supply. So, you know, I do like any good hacker does, right? I'm popping the thing open, the computer, I'm taking a look at it, I'm futzing around with it, and I screwed it up.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so I'm in college, right, and I screw this thing up, and I call to California, which was like a hugely expensive call, and they had a $250 bench charge and $200 an hour to fix my hard drive, or even to diagnose it. So I scraped and scrounged some money, and I got myself a second floppy disk drive, and I had to, I wasn't living quite so high after that.
Hmm. Yeah, you realize that this show, this very show that we are recording, and encoding to MP3 would not even fit on there. Just this one episode, one file.
Dude, I got a data watch, USB data watch. I got 128 meg storage for my personal certificates and password databases.
Isn't that funny that like we can wear something on our wrist and like our portable video game, PlayStation, Nintendo, DS, all that, blow away that computer?
Have you ever seen my Java ring that I have?
They blow away computers from as little as 5 years ago, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Moore's Law, right?
Yeah.
18 months, everything's doubling. But have you ever saw the Java ring I have? And that's about 5 years old now. It has an 8-bit processor, 32K of ROM, 8K of RAM, and it can do 1024-bit encryption.
Mm.
And that's all looks like a high school ring, class ring, you know? So it's just amazing. So that's what gets me. When people get into this, oh, nostalgia stuff, oh, it was so good back then. No, it wasn't. It's so much better now.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely better now, but there's still a nostalgia aspect. I mean, I enjoyed very much working on the old System 36 where the computer's the size of the room
Stank.
And the reel-to-reel tapes.
Stank.
And yes.
Stank, you did that AES 400 presentation, man. You're a closet retro computing user.
I admit it. I'm not closet. I admit it. I like the retro stuff. Now,
so you're out of the closet?
I like to...
are you out of the closet about everything?
I'm out of the closet about everything, yes.
Okay.
Of course, it's not what you're getting at, but I play...
I'm not implying anything. I'm just asking.
Yep, I am. Well,
there's anything wrong with that.
I guess there's probably some things I'm in the closet about. And, yeah, they're probably... I have some issues that are probably unspoken, but, you know, we don't drop all the docs on the show. I'm sure you have a few things in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, well... I don't know. What else do you have? Any other interesting stories? I mean, what about before? I mean, like, did you first start with computing by, like, what, marking scratches on the cave walls or something? Or, like, how many fires you could build or something like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've actually...
Dinosaur bones?
History of this stuff is actually very interesting to me, and there's a very good book I'd recommend if people are into it. It's called The Victorian Internet, and I think it's by Tom Standage. You can get it on, half.com and stuff, and it talks about the whole invention of the telegraph. And actually, Vinton Cerf wrote a foreword to it, or wrote something on it. Said, if we would have had this book, we would have saved ourselves a lot of trial and error when we started setting up the net. Very very, very good book, talks about the whole thing with Samuel Morris and everything coming up before in French.
The Morris worm.
And well, yeah, but no, that's a different Morris, M-O-R-S-E, not M-O-R-R-I-S. Come on, get it straight, man. You're no computer historian.
Gotcha.
But then it even goes back, like, to France with the semaphore operators, you know, the little flag, the people doing the flag stuff and that. So it's very good, and the history of it is just interesting, just from the perspective of seeing where it's been and seeing how it's evolved. Do you have to be a mechanic to drive a car? No, but it helps to be able to, you know, understand what's going on under the hood. So the more you get into this stuff and the more you know, the better of an understanding you have of the whole picture. So, but actually, what kind of got me into the whole technology stuff, and I have an older brother who was into sci-fi, so he got me into doing Star Trek and, you know, everything else when I was a kid. And then, okay, this is a...
All right, you're a closet Trekkie. We're bringing you out of the closet, too.
Oh, dude, no closets with that. And then, all right, so here's the thing, all right, so in... personal computers weren't there. General computers were, you know, hard to come by when I was growing up. So, companies didn't even have them. So in eighth grade, I was in the AV club. Ooh, or a club, but we had these electives, right? So we did AV stuff. So I started working with, you know, the quote-unquote technical kind of stuff in that.
Which is why you're the guy at every single conference that's always volunteering and doing the recording and working on the cameras and the AV stuff.
Yeah, actually, I should be setting up for Hope as well. I was working on getting all my reservations and everything there for both Hope and DEF CON.
And we got a table reserved for us downstairs to get some Guinness or what?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Not Theory, if you're listening, dude, you still owe me a pint from DEF CON. The interest is going to kill you, man.
Uh-oh. We're going to have to film that one.
Yep.
And actually, you know, an interesting point you kind of just alluded to a minute ago is that we haven't touched on is the price, the cost of these things. Not only has all this power and everything gone up, but we kind of, you mentioned the price on the other ones earlier and you talked about how much money we're spending. But yeah, I mean, we paid big bucks. You were talking about $250 just to open a ticket and then $200 per hour, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, let me give you
prices.
Stank, let me give you a couple examples. 1989, living in Arizona, I had a friend of mine had a computer store. So I wanted to get the, you know, I wanted to be king shit. So I had him order me, you know, this 150 megabyte SD hard drive. Mm. 150 megabyte SD hard drive. Guess what the dealer price was on that in 1989?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't even venture a guess.
Yes. Come on, guess.
1989?
Yeah.
$300.
Oh, dude, you're $1,300.
I'm guessing low because I really didn't have a clue.
$1,300 for 150 megabyte. It's like, I'm like, man, I'm never going to fill this thing up. I've got files larger than that now. Okay, fast forward a little bit. This is probably about 1995, 96.
Well, wait a minute. To put that in perspective, I mean, right now you can get like a 200, 250 gigabyte hard drive for $100 on sale if you watch around.
Yeah, it's about, I was checking it last Friday. Phoenix is on the West Coast, so we have Fry's Electronics out here. 30 cents a gigabyte now.
Oh, man.
30 cents a gig. All right, now fast forward a couple of years. It's 1990, around 95, 96. I get a 1 gigabyte hard drive. Again, thinking I'm king shit, right? 1 gigabyte. Ordered it from Fry's Electronics in California, because we didn't have them out here yet. When they had it on sale, guess how much?
I'm going to guess again, $300.
Man, do not go on Price is Right. You suck. It was like $600, close to $700 for 1 gigabyte.
Price is Right still exists. You're dating yourself.
I don't know. I don't watch TV. So now, you know, I've got like I said, I got 128 megabytes on my wrist. I got a 1 gig and a 2 gig thumb drive in my pocket, and it's just amazing. Now,
this is a personal problem.
Now get this. This is something I pulled, and Stank, I'll tell you where it's at if you want, but it's on my private website. Okay, I took this from PC World a few years ago, 1981, IBM PC, price $3,045, 4.77 megahertz, 8088, came with 64 kilobytes of RAM, 160 kilobyte floppy, 11.5-inch monochrome text monitor. Parallel port, tape cassette, 2-inch speaker, PC DOS 1.0, 16
PC-DOS.
Kilobytes.
Not MS-DOS, PC DOS.
PC DOS, yeah. Microsoft didn't sell products in that. That's, you know, Gates.
Another
Gates
thing?
Was,
another
thing. He was still living out in Albuquerque, I think, at the time.
Yeah, it's another thing people might not realize. I know that we always make jokes about Microsoft being the operating system, and that's all that there's ever been, and all people have known. But, no, there was a time there. I mean, PC-DOS and MS-DOS were two choices you had, and PC-DOS went the way of the dinosaur as well.
Well, there was also, even when I had mine, there was a P-code environment, a pseudocode environment that you could run, kind of like, I think you could run like, you could get a P-code for Fortran and stuff, and you could run Fortran apps on this little personal computer. But anyways, get this, so the OS requirement, 16 kilobytes, it booted up in 16 seconds.
Hmm.
Now, this the next one I have, and again, I props to PC World, they put this together, I just retyped it for myself. Okay, 2001 Dell Optiplex. Price was $1,400 versus $3,000. It was almost a gigahertz Pentium 3, 128 meg of RAM. Even this sounds pretty weak now. 20 gigabyte hard drive, DV read-write, floppy 17-inch monitor, parallel serial USB, Windows 2000, 32 meg of RAM as opposed to 16 kilobytes for the operating system. It takes 51 seconds to boot up. So we could do that again. I mean, you're probably paying, what, $500 for like a 3-gigabyte thing with a gig of RAM, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's gone. Prices have gone down, power's gone up, and I don't know. It finally seems to sort of be leveling off. I think Moore's Law it's not dead yet, but I'm thinking it's getting, unless they make some breakthrough technology here soon with quantum computing or something. I think we're really starting to push the envelope as far as we can push it yet. And unless they come through with some nanotechnology to make the tiniest pin size.
Well, part of it, the next step, I think, before we get to practical applications of that, you know, everything's, the chips are primarily silicon-based. They say gallium arsenide is the next semiconductor medium of choice, and they'll be able to have smaller die sizes and everything else, so.
Well, and the other thing, I think for the next probably 3 to 5 years, actually next 1 to 5 years, seems to me I'm feeling a push towards multiprocessors, dual quad processor systems, where they're just, instead of advancing the technology in the processors, they're just going to start daisy chaining them up, trying to actually get squeeze the power out of them.
Right, but you think about it in the Windows environment, and Robert Kringley, the columnist, came up with this. So I didn't come up with this thought, but he was saying that, like in a Windows environment, you're going to need one processor just to run your firewall and your antivirus and your anti-spyware and also the security shit. You'll dedicate one processor just to that.
Yeah, and I don't know if is that the way it's pronounced, Kringley or Cringely? I've always said.
Yeah, I'm not sure which.
Fantastic.
But actually, I think it is Kringley, because I had Triumph of the Nerds 2.0.1, the video series,
yeah,
which is actually very good if anyone's
excellent.
Interested.
Yeah, and his writing is fantastic. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me as well. He may not be always accurate, but you know, it's logical, it's sensible that the things could happen. He actually wrote a book a number of years ago. It's called Accidental Empires. It's about the start of the whole PC revolution and all the companies. I wish he'd, and it goes till about like 1991 or something. I wish he'd write like a volume 2 of that, of everything that's happened since.
Well, and I guess one closing story, kind of back to something else you made me think of with half.com you mentioned. I actually got a $20 gift certificate to Amazon recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really cool that I was able to go onto Amazon. I have a few things on my wish list. But I was able to go onto Amazon with a $20 gift certificate, and there is still value in old books, whether it's nostalgia or whether it's just an interest that hasn't been, you know, something that you're interested in or researching or whatever. Like and let me tell you exactly, I thought this was a really cool feeling. I could go onto Amazon, and through their Z Shops, which is their half.com, their used bookstores, et cetera, people that they just do they just use the Amazon engine to power their sales and process them.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to go on there. I bought the new quotable Einstein, which is, I had an older one, so I was able to get a newer one. I think it was like 98 cents. I paid more for shipping. It was like $2 or $3 for shipping on it. I bought a DVD movie called Code Hunter. I think it was like $1.98 or $2.98 for that, and it's an old, I kind of collect anything, any movies that are like, even slightly hacking related, so it was called Code Hunter or something, so I got that. Again, a few bucks shipping. And I bought another DVD documentary. Gosh, the name escapes me now, but It was, oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of it, but it was basically similar to the BBS documentary from Jason Scott, but not nearly as good or as well done or as recent. And that also cost me, I think, about $2 or $3. When all was said and done, out of my $20 gift certificate, I had two great DVDs, interesting stuff, a new book that I could sit and read because I love reading Einstein books, and still had a few bucks change left over.
Huh.
So there's some nostalgia for you.
Well, dude, if you have any money left over, definitely get that Victorian Internet. I believe it's Tom Standage is the guy's name.
Well, and the other thing I'm reading right now, and we're going kind of off topic, but I'm reading Hackers and Painters, which is an excellent, excellent book.
Oh, yeah. There's other books, too. I got Linus wrote part of it in that, but it's called The Hacker Ethic.
Yeah, I have that on my shelf, ready to read, too, waiting to read.
Actually, get this. So I bought, if I'm going to have something, I'm going to pay for it. I bought from Audible the audio book, and I thought it was so good, I bought the Dead Tree edition.
Uh-huh. All right. Treeware.
Yep.
Still like it. All right, well, Rax, thank you for coming on the show and dating us both, I think.
Yeah, well,
boy.
What can I say?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Well, I will see you at Hope number 6.
All right, later, man.
Late. All right, now, that was some old school computing right there, especially at the end with our good friend Rax, but I know you and I can probably talk about this for a little bit, too. I've been on the Earth quite a few years myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I can probably
go... I know that feeling.
I could probably go way back, but I tell you what, why don't you start it off? And I'll try to kind of fill in because some of the stuff I know you and I probably have in common as far as computing, and then I will kind of take us back into the Wayback Machine. So what is that? What was the first computer? Well, what was the first actual computer that you remember? Not that you necessarily used, but what was the first computer you ever remember like seeing or that's just in your memory? When's the first time you ever heard of computers?
Oh, the first one I ever remember is probably. I'd say I was in sixth grade, and they brought a computer into school, and we were able to play a couple games on it, things like, you know, Hangman, nothing serious. The computers weren't capable of many things serious, so...
Do you remember what
we
it
played
was?
I don't remember what the computer was at school, no.
Do you remember
I know
what
I used it. I was only in sixth grade. I tell you the truth, I really didn't care that much at the time. I do remember using it, and I do remember thinking how cool it was. And it was probably another year or so before I got my own. And started using my friends, and then I bought my own.
Now, do you remember, was it color?
It was not color, it was monochrome.
Monochrome.
One
at
school,
yep. Right. And that was like the only computer in the whole school? There was a very small number of computers in the school, I would assume, at that time?
There were three, and we shared them in a new class called Computer Lab.
A new class, Computer
yep.
Lab. Yeah, actually, kind of similar stories to a certain extent. Back then, of course, and I think Rax talked about this a little bit, computers were expensive. And Rax went into some details, so we're not going to rehash that, but the cost of a computer back then and what you got for it compared to the cost now, you know, that they've dropped so dirt cheap for the power and everything that you get, it's amazing. But back then, they were very, very expensive to have a personal computer. In your school. So, yeah, they were very few and far between when I
Absolutely.
Was in middle school, which was even before you
yep.
By a few years. And we had just a few here and there. And I remember doing basic programming on them, but they were certainly not commonplace, that's for sure. And we're talking early middle school, probably fifth, sixth grade as well. So you got... Your first computer, well, what was your next computer after that? You were saying you got one at home?
Well, I used a computer at a friend named John's house for about a year. It was a Commodore 64. And we played games on it and just basically used it. After that, I kind of wanted one, so, you know, I asked my parents and all that good stuff, and they said, no way, you know, what do we look like, Rockefeller?
Right.
And I worked, you know, raking leaves and all that stuff for a while and was able to get, I think I got half the money together, and my parents bought me a... You know, a 386, an old 8088, and, you know, with the math coprocessor and all that good stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I used that, and basically for that, I spent a lot of time playing video games, you know, after I was able to get the later version of DOS, I put Wasteland on there and played that.
Oh, Wasteland was the bomb!
Oh, yeah. I loved that game. I literally played it for a year. pretty much every day.
I still have it on 5 1/4 inch floppy disk somewhere.
Yep, the computer had the 5 1/4 inch drive.
Absolutely, what a great game. Great game. And actually, yeah, I guess I'll slip in a little bit because mine was even a little bit... Well, actually, let's talk about the Commodore 64 because I don't think anybody's really mentioned that so far. The Commodore 64, to me, was the big turning point for computers where people started having computers at home. That was the first one that I remember hitting big at home. Now, take that with a grain of salt. Apple II was another one that was a big breakthrough, but they were still so expensive. That's one thing that hasn't changed about Apple. They've always been expensive as hell.
Yeah, schools had them, but not a lot of houses.
Exactly, because they gave discounts to schools. That was Apple's trying to get in. That was their policy back then. Their business idea was to try to get into schools and get people using them at schools so that when kids went home or when you went home, that's what you wanted to use, the same thing that you knew how to you learned how to use at school. So, yeah, they had, but they were so expensive that still a lot of people did not buy them for the home yet. It wasn't until the Commodore 64 because it did do some computing, but I think more to the point was the games. I really think games is what sold the Commodore 64 more than anything.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I remember Wasteland, and I loved and still to this day love the old Gold Box AD&D games, the old TSR Gold Box adventure games.
That's great. What I played a lot of Bard's Tale.
Yep, Bard's Tale was great. I never liked the Ultima stuff because
nope.
It didn't give me enough freedom. I don't want to play Shimoni and all those stupid characters. I want to make up my own character.
I was a Might and Magic guy.
Yep, Might and Magic was another good one. Yep, I liked that one a lot. And, of course, this was back in... Okay, let me think for a second. Let's throw some dates out here. This was probably in the 80s. Maybe it was late 80s, early 90s. I remember back in that time frame because I know a friend and I used to play one of the Gold Box games, and I know we named all of our characters after, well, we named our character Slash, Axel, Izzy.
Not long after Welcome to the Jungle was on TV, probably.
And for those of you who might not recognize those names, the old Guns N' Roses, so we thought that was kind of funny back then. I know I talked to Not Theory the other day, and in one of the games he was playing, he named his characters Rafflecopter and Roller Skates and stuff like that. So, anyway, we had fun with that. And I think that was the first. Now, I played it over at a friend's house. I did not have one myself. So when I went to try to buy one, same thing, mowing lawns, saving the money, and my parents went out and decided they weren't going to get me the full Commodore 64 because it cost more. I got the ghetto-ass Commodore 64, a.k.a. the VIC-20. Oh, what a bastard of a computer that was. Had the cassette drive, an external tape cassette drive, and I remember actually having the cassettes that had, like, Guns N' Roses or something on one side, audio, and then you flip it over, and I would hide data on the other side of it. So that was fun times. There was a lot of data hiding going on back there. Whenever you needed a tape... You had to actually decide whether it was worth taping over your copy of, who was the guy from Jersey? What was, Springsteen. No, not Springsteen.
Bon
Jovi, Slippery When Wet, that's what it was. So you had to make a decision whether it was worth copying over that to get a copy of the latest game or something like that. So that was always fun. And yes, did a little bit of basic computing, a little bit of basic programming, I should say, excuse me. And the VIC-20 really wasn't, it sucked. There's no two ways about it. The VIC-20 sucked. It was fairly popular as well, but the Commodore 64 is the one that did it. But when
I remember really complaining when we went to get it. I said, I gotta get IBM compatible.
Exactly, and that's what, when the IBM compatibles came out. Actually, there was a Tandy before that, which was... kind of the sort of the same. I remember sometimes you get a Tandy game that would play on the IBM PC clones that were coming out at the time, but Tandy was the one that was carried by Radio Shack, and it was kind of meh. I remember going into Radio Shack all the time to play the demo games. But once IBM PCs came out, that's what really changed the face. The IBM clones came out. That's really what changed the face of computing, started driving the price, started driving the technology, and the lower the prices went, the more people had computers, to where we are today, where, oh man, I should have done some research for this show, but I'm a terrible host, of what percentage of people have home computers these days. So, and it's even increasing ever more worldwide with these new $100 laptops that they're trying to roll out right now as well. So, I mean, did you ever think of the day where a $100 laptop?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think of the day when you could find a $100 hard drive.
Exactly. And Rax was telling us about $1,300 for like a, I forgot what he said it was, a 15 megabyte drive, or I don't remember what, something crazy. Just ridiculous prices. Actually, the first computer I ever used was an old VAX mainframe. It wasn't. It was playing a game. I remember the game distinctly. I don't know what the name of it was exactly, but it was at school. It was also about fifth or sixth grade, right around that same time frame, and it was all monochrome. It was a, you know, all we had were the dumb terminals to this VAX. And I remember playing, it was, the only thing people would recognize if I say Zork, one of those old adventure-type games, you know, where it was all text-based, but you just typed in what you wanted to do. Except this one was Star Wars theme. And I, of course, you know, you're a kid, you love Star Wars. It was not long after Star Wars. I don't even think the third movie was out, or even, maybe not even the second one at that time. So, you know, Star Wars game, and it was like, you know, it was kind of a role-playing text-based game. You'd go through, you'd find the lightsaber, and you'd attack the Wookiees and fly the spaceship and stuff like that. It was all text. It was all imagination, which is in very short supply these days in the time of graphics and everything. But high-end graphics cards kind of destroyed imagination to a certain extent. But I remember playing that game on it, but I didn't do anything else on it. I didn't really do much programming on it. The first programming I actually remember was, I remember tinkering around with the BASIC on the TI-99-4A a little bit, and on the Commodore a little bit, like I said. But the first time I took, like, an actual class in school for proper programming, to teach you basic programming, was, had to have been, let's see, I lived in Alabama at the time, so that was ninth grade or eighth grade? Ninth grade. So in ninth grade, on a TRS-80, the trash 80s we used to call them.
Yep.
That was the first time I ever saw an actual lab full of computers, as in 12, 15 computers in one room. Because like you said, before that, there was two or three to the whole school.
Right.
Right? So first time I actually saw a lab and learned basic programming. Now, when did you actually take your first class or first, like, formal computer training?
My first formal computer training was college. Mm. I didn't do it in high school. I didn't do it in middle school.
Wow.
I played with them myself, and my school didn't offer it. Like, I know, like, I hear people, you know, my age and, you know, your age, and they'll say their school had some of these programs. Mine didn't have that. I just didn't have the option that some people have where you could take a class on it. You know, I did some basic programming myself as a kid, but really there was no option at my school. I went to a poor school in Fort Pierce, Florida during high school, and they didn't have any computers at all in the early 90s. None. My high school had barely any computers.
Well, you know, and that's a very common thing. I have to say I was very lucky. Well, I was unlucky in one hand and lucky in something else. I was unlucky that I moved, like, every freaking year. I went to four different high schools in 4 years, which sucked. But the good thing that came out of that is you're absolutely right. There was very hard and very rare to find schools that even had a computer lab, even as small as 10, 15 computers. And even if they did, that they offered any classes in them. They might have been, like, for the newspaper or for the AV or something like that, AV club or something.
Right. They had them, but I didn't take the classes where you would have access to those computers.
Right.
I think I took a typing class where I got to use the computer.
Well, I definitely took basic programming again in ninth grade for the first time formally. 10th grade, I think I took a general computing class, which at the time was like WordPerfect, you know, and it was not Excel, it was Lotus 1-2-3.
Lotus 1-2-3.
Yeah. And where everything started with the slash key. And in 10th grade, or excuse me, in 11th grade, which, and we're talking 1988 here, 1988, I was in 11th grade, and I was very lucky. I was, where did I live? I lived in Kentucky at that time, and there was only one school in the state of Kentucky that offered Pascal programming, and that just happened to be in my district. So where I went to school in 10th grade, what was I, 15, 16? How old are you in 10th grade? I don't even know.
I'd say 15, yeah.
15 or 16 or whatever. I was lucky, got into Pascal programming class. And oddly enough, there was probably 15, let's say 20 computers, be generous, 20 computers in the class. I really don't remember what kind they were offhand, but 20 computers, still only about 12 or 13 kids in the class. So nobody was even using all of them. There still wasn't an interest. It still wasn't big yet. So I took Pascal programming then, and then my senior year, I moved to a different school, also in Kentucky, though. And that school just happened to be the only school in the state that offered Fortran programming. And that's right, I know a lot of you don't know Pascal or Fortran ever existed because they're not really used much anymore. But I actually learned both of those before I got out of high school, which was really cool at the time. So when I went into college, they were also offered as college courses, but I didn't have to take those because I already knew it. So I was able to then take other now archaic languages like COBOL, and actually did have to take BASIC again in college because it was freaking required. That sucked. And that was, again, on a VAX, ironically, which I had used, 10 years earlier or something like that, or not 10 years, 6 or 7 years earlier. So, boy, I've run the gamut of computers and experience over the years. I do remember also back in 5th or 6th grade, I remember that I think it was my math class. I was always bored. I didn't really need the math class. I knew the math. So right. That particular teacher had a computer in his closet, in his office, that he used for himself that had a modem on it. And that was the first access I ever had to the predecessor to the global interweb. There was certainly no web back then. There was no internet per se. But there were dial-up BBSs. And I remember I took a test and was finished and like nothing. So he says, yeah, go back and play on the computer or something like that. Some game, it was an old door game. You connect and play a trivia game. Take the phone. You had to put it in the coupler and wait for it to connect and everything. 300
And slam it down 3 times.
Oh, I loved it. That nostalgia feeling is coming back. It was so great. Oh, man, I missed that so much. And playing those door games and stuff was just the greatest fun ever. And going to the BBSs, that's where the first time I ever saw things like hacking text files and stuff like that. I remember going through, and when I found that, that's what hooked me. That's really what turned me on to hacking and turned me on to the power and what computers could do and the magic, and that's really what did it for me. That, taking the programming classes, which I've always loved. So, that's come a long way from then to now, where we've got dual-core, quad processing, supercharged, whatever the hell they've got now. Now I'm the old guy. I can't keep up with it.
I got a gamer at work, and he points me over his terminal today, monitor, I should say. He says, look at this. It's dual SLI on a single card. I guess they might have announced it just today because he was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and honestly, the video card technology lately, I have a bunch of gamer friends. And when I was specking out this new computer, I got a new dual core, I think I mentioned on the show quite a while back, I think, or in the forums, that is. And I was, I wanted to, as long as I'm getting it, I want to get a nice, up-to-date video card. I'm not a gamer, so I don't need, this super top-end, blow-your-socks-off card, but I wanted something that was going to be able to play Half-Life 2 or any games along that same time, anything that was coming out at the time. I didn't want to already buy behind the curve. And I'm talking to these guys, and it's like they're dropping all these things. Oh, well, anti-aliasing, and you need the dual SLI and PCI Express, blah, blah. I'm like, what in the holy hell are you talking about? Jeez. It's gotten crazy with all this stuff now. And I actually finally feel like, I'm getting passed up with a lot of this technology. It's too much to keep up with now for an old guy like me.
Oh, it happens a lot. I was at work not too long ago. I wanted, you know, like, let's say it was 8-9 months ago, and we finally got a PCI Express machine in. And, you know, I tried to stick an AVP card in it, and I was like, what the hell is this thing?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, I can figure it out and learn and adapt with everybody else, but I mean, like, I'm like, when did all of this happen? I remember having a Voodoo 2 card that was an add-on. You had to put that in besides your regular video card.
Right, and it seems like it was just 5 years ago or, you know, it's whatever.
And then I do know, you know, I'm not totally out of the loop. I know that that went away shortly thereafter, and it was just one card. And I got like I couldn't even tell you. That's the other thing is all the model numbers and crap, forget about it. I remember getting some other card that was able to play all the games that I wanted to play, which, again, is not much. So it was only probably about 2.5 years, 2 to 3 years range, that I just didn't really pay attention. And all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what the hell happened while I wasn't looking, you know?
I think I'm in the same boat. I'm pretty sure that I fell off that train somewhere along the way, too. I noticed that there's a lot of technology coming out right now that's just... I walked into a game store the other day. I mean, I don't play a lot of games anymore. You know, I sat down in front of the Xbox 360 and I played that boxing game. Mm. And it hit me. You know, like you said, you know, you think back to when you were young, and it really hit me. I was like, this is like watching friggin' television.
Yeah, they're doing
I forget the name of the game. It was like Fight Night 2006 or something. But it's amazing, and it's in an Xbox 360. It's not even a big computer. It's just a little tiny box.
Right. Well, and that even goes back to what Rax and I were talking about earlier about, I mean, the computers that we were describing back in school, even the stuff we were doing programming on, my Nintendo DS will blow that thing out of the water.
Right.
That's a damn shit. That's amazing. My PDA phone is more powerful than probably half the computers I've ever owned in my life. That's amazing. Think about that. The power
in
this... Well, maybe not this particular piece of shit Trio 700 phone, but other similar phones that do actually work as they're advertised to work.
I think it's better than the Nokia that came free for me.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's debatable. All right. Well, I guess we're kind of drifting a little bit off the computer topic, but this is a good, fun episode full of nostalgia and talking about the old computers, first computers somebody brought up in the forum, so I thought that was a fun topic to just... This was more like the story hour. Wait a minute, we can't have story hour. This is 666. This is Tales from the Crypt episode. Tales of the old computers.
What you should have had is Danzig co-hosting.
Oh, see,
that's what you needed.
I should have gotten Rob Zombie. Why didn't I think of that? Oh, well. Well, I tell you what, let's, I do still want to do some email. So let's see... I'm not sure how we are in time, but we're going to at least have some time to do a few emails. So, unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up before we leave the main topic.
Oh, there's really not. No, it is what it is. I mean, they were great, and I had a lot of fun with them, you know. And,
and
it's sad. It's sad, like, when you sit here and talk about it and you think about, you'll never feel the way you did when you first saw those computers again. But then again, you know, I jump on our forum sometimes, and I see, you know, kids thinking the same thing I did. You know, and it's still a good thing.
Well, and I know the guys over at over on the Packet Sniffers. I know that those guys are into like a lot of the retro computers too. Shout out
they
to
sure
Packet
are,
Sniffers,
yep.
Good guys over there, Doss Man and Zach.
Yep,
go check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, there's a lot of people that still like them. But you know what? And because you know, I presented on the AS400 at the Last Hope 2 years ago. So you know, there's still some interest out there. Of course,
to work with them.
It is still around, so, you know.
They're still around. I have to work with them every day.
Yeah, they're nice systems, actually. But they've been around for a while. They've seen better days. And you know what? As far as recent history, I don't think there's really much point of... It kind of makes you feel old again that, like, some people you talk to, their first computer is like a 486. They're like, oh, I remember back in the days of the old 486. No. That's not back in the day. That, you don't know back in the day. The 486, that's nothing. I still got a few of those laying around the garage.
My 486 is a firewall still.
I was teasing Dakota earlier that he was still using a 486 up until a year or so ago.
I remember him saying that.
Yeah, because all he needs is notepad. That guy. Anyway, I need to teach him how to use encryption, but that's a whole nother story. All right, so let's handle some, let's go into some email. Well, our first email this week comes from Chaos, K-A-O-S, who says, "Hey guys, first off, I love the show. Keep up the good work. I just wanted to keep up the good work." I gotta enunciate properly. Maybe I should, okay, you know what, I'm gonna start over. I'm gonna do this voice in my Crypt Keeper voice, because I wanna keep it evil. I'm gonna wear out my throat. But you know what, I'm having fun, so fuck off. Turn off the show if you don't like it. Alright, so Chaos.
What can you do?
Chaos says, "Hey guys, first off, I love the show. Keep up the good work. I just wanted to say that the new format idea sounds awesome." Wait a minute, that sounds like a monster truck rally. That doesn't sound like a 666.
Sunday.
Come out and see Bigfoot. Bigfoot and Grave Digger go head to head in the final showdown. I have the worst voices and impressions, but you know what? I don't care. I have fun. I just wanted to say that the new format idea sounds awesome, and I look forward to finding something actually interesting enough that I can contribute to the show. Well, thank you very much, Chaos. And we actually got quite a few emails that people did like this new format and the new direction we're going. So I'm not going to read all of them, but thank you to everyone for letting us know, because, yeah, we're going to keep going in this direction. I think it's kind of keeps the show fresh, first of all. And, yes, Chaos and anybody else, we want to have, it's not this exclusive club or something like that where only the select people are on the show. No, I want anybody and everybody, if they know about the topic at hand or they're discussing, you know, we're kind of gearing this towards the forum, some of the interesting stuff, there's tons of great stuff there. And if somebody out there is more knows about that particular subject, I would love to start getting more people on the show and kind of share and spread the knowledge. So absolutely, anybody and everybody, keep an eye in the forums and watch. And basically, the best way to get on the show, I mean, it's not like we have a process yet. We're still kind of fumbling our way through this and figuring out how to get people on. But the best thing is to hang out in IRC. If you go to irc.binrev.net, our IRC server, go out there like Sunday, Monday. Well, actually, go hang out there anyway, because there's lots of great conversation, a lot of great people. I mean, there's 50 plus people on at any given time. I mean, it never dips below 30 at the lowest these days.
It's a fun channel. It's an interesting channel. You know, a lot of IRC channels aren't like they used to be, where you would have people having fun and having some technical talk here and there.
Right.
That's one of the ones that's left, you know?
Yeah, we try to keep it on topic as much as we can, and there's a little fun in there, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of bright people in there, so it's definitely fun. And, you know, when it comes time to do the show, I think everybody knows that I know Black Ratchet and Strom did some shows live, but I pre-record the show and stream it on Tuesday. So, you know, Sunday, Monday, whenever we get to recording, just if you're in IRC and I'm looking at the topics, I'll shout it out in IRC and see if anybody wants to record a segment and try to put them together for a show. And in the future, see, right now, here's the problem. New phone, I guess, has some problems going on without going into details, and they've got some problems. A lot of people have lost their DIDs. A lot of people who are running asterisk boxes that we have been using are down because of it. So once we get Bell's Mind and some of the other options we have up and running again, we'll be able to maybe have multiple people on the show at the same time instead of pre-recording. So there is some, you know, once we get things straightened out and figure out what New Phone's deal is or find some alternatives or whatever. New Phone was great because, well, anyway, till we find some alternatives, maybe that'll be the direction we take in the future of the show instead of pre-recording. We can at least, we may still pre-record, but we'll do everybody at the same time. So, yeah, absolutely, hang out in IRC. That's the best way to get in touch with myself or whoever we're going to be doing the show, whoever the host is going to be. Like I said, we're trying to mix them up, so you can pretty much contact any of us. And, yeah, everybody's welcome. I'd like to see more of a community involvement. Of course, I say that about everything, but, you know, it really is true. I really want to see a community involvement and stuff like this. Anyway, let's move on to another email here. This email is from Jim. Actually, you want to read an email? I'm wore my throat out with the whole Crypt Keeper thing.
All right, I don't know how good my Crypt Keeper could be.
Well, you can do a normal voice. That's okay.
Let's do this one normal.
Okay.
We got one from Jim. It's good to hear you guys back on the show again. I normally download the episodes after they are aired, then I listen to them while they're driving or at work. I think your team puts together a great show. Recently, I've been interested in Myth TV. I'd like to build myself a box that runs Myth TV, and I was wondering if you or anyone on the show has come across any good tutorials that are easy to follow. And actually, I have.
All right.
There's one on Google. I mean, I don't know where it is. You know, unfortunately, I'm getting caught with my pants down. But there's an old one for Red Hat, a Red Hat Myth TV tutorial. And, you know, combining those strings together will show you a great one. Now, myself, I use the, I'm forgetting the name of the distro right now. The Myth. Not Myth. I did a Not Myth install, and I still have it up and running, and it's been fine for me.
And you do actually use Myth TV then?
I have. It's broken right now, but yeah, I used it up until about 3 months ago.
Well, maybe an answer question I've had. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but one of the things I was curious about is some of the later ones, they added support for MAME, the multi-arcade machine emulator, I think is what it stands for. Did you put that module on?
They absolutely did add that in there. That I do remember reading that. I never used it.
It is
in there, I believe. You can run emulators through your Myth TV now.
Yeah, see, I thought that was a cool thing to add. That made me more interested. I was already kind of interested, but that made me even more interested. And I think it also will do just general RSS feeds for, like, weather and stuff like that if you wanted to add in. I don't know if it'll do podcasts. I haven't checked on it in a while, but just.
I don't know, but yeah, you're right. With Not Myth, you know, you can. It's pretty easy. You get your, you know, your Zap2It channels. You pull your channels down. They do have weather RSS feeds and all that stuff that they pull down and display for you right there on the front page. You can do picture slideshows, all kinds of great stuff with it. It's an awesome.
Even just slash dot feeds with news and stuff like that. I think you can even browse that on there. If I'm correct.
Well, you absolutely can. If you don't set up your RSS right and do all that stuff, you can use it as a regular distro. You can fire it up and open a web browser with it.
Cool. All right. Well, actually, Jim, who sent in this email, also provided the link, and we're making up a name. He sent in a real name, and we're not going to use the full name, so we're going to go with Jim, who sent us a link. And we'll put the link up in the show notes. It's kind of long. I can't really read it on the air. And it's kind of awkward to tiny URL even, actually, because it kind of drops some docs. But basically what was interesting about it, he sent the link that showed, like, some parts, all the parts that you would need, the video card, because Myth TV only works with certain video cards and things like that, tuners.
Yes.
So
you want to get the Hophog. I don't know how to pronounce that word, tell you the truth. But the Hophog.
I don't know. I call it halpage. I've heard people pronounce it all different ways.
I've only read it, just like probably most of the people out there.
Exactly. So he sent a link that had all that on there. And, yeah, we'll put those in the show notes. But the more interesting thing was that the link was actually a Google link, or more to the point, a Froogle link, Froogle, which is Google's price search engine.
I know you're not a fan. I love Froogle.
Well, it's not so much that. I don't have a problem with what it does. It's how it does it. I clicked on his Froogle link to see it, and first of all, it takes me to his wish list. I didn't even know they had a wish list in Froogle.
Right.
So I didn't know that was. It says beta on it. I never saw it announced on Labs. I don't know if it's just part of. Is Froogle still considered beta? Froogle's actually not beta anymore.
I would say no. Froogle's graduated Labs. It's on the top page, so no.
But this wish list still said beta, and it was kind of weird. But, so I didn't know that existed.
The wish list may be beta, because I haven't heard of it either.
Yeah, so it's not listed on the Labs, but anyway, whatever. So I didn't even know it existed, first of all, but fine, whatever. But what I didn't like was in the upper right-hand corner, what do I see? My username. Right there. I didn't log in to Froogle. I didn't log into Google. I didn't log into Gmail. Why
am
I
logged in? You had a cookie on there.
Yeah, I know.
You
I had
a cookie.
Cookie
left on there, yeah.
But this goes back to what I bitched about like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Don't log me into anything. I may have had a cookie for Gmail. That doesn't mean I want to automatically log into Frugal or Google or Google Groups.
Google's the new MSN.
Oh, it is. It really is. It really is. It's not, and I'm not singling out Google. I know people think I'm this big anti-Google guy. And yeah, sure, I did present to DEF CON about it, and I bitched about it.
Nothing big.
And I wrote an article in 2600, but still, it was coincidence. I could have easily written those articles on Passport, Microsoft. I mean, very simple.
Sure.
I mean, they're all very similar. And
sure. Yeah, they're both intrusive in their own way. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's persistent. You log into one, but it logs into the others. But the problem I have is when I signed up for the account, I never agreed to that. It just suddenly happened one day, and that's not cool. So, yeah, I wasn't happy about that, but you know what? I guess it doesn't cause any harm in this particular situation, so I'm not going to go into that rant again. But I just don't like the way they've gone about this. So I will back off of that topic for now. But yeah,
Larry versus Stank, duel at noon.
Yeah, I think Google fits in perfectly with the episode of Evil. Oh, man, I think I just blew out a vocal cord. Oh, man, okay. How are we on time here? Wow, I think we're getting close. I think we can get in one more, at least, email. His email is from Cyprus. Cyprus says, as I have recently researched the topic of recording on an iPod, I have the answer for you. You can record audio to an iPod. Oh, we asked this in a previous episode of the show. I didn't know, could you record to your iPod? I thought that was one of the features, is you're supposed to be able to record to it. So, I have the answer for you. You can record audio to an iPod. The older gen iPods, before video iPod, a.k.a. fifth generation, you can use iPod Linux from iPodLinux.org. I am pretty sure that iPod Linux comes with an audio recorder for pre-5 gen iPods. Also, there are devices from Griffintechnology.com, called the iTalk, which works with the 4th gen and previous iPods. As for the 5th gen iPod, there are no recorders as of yet. I was told by an Apple employee that ExtremeMac.com is going to have one called MicroMemo, and also Griffin is coming out with the iTalk Pro. Thanks for the radio show, TV show, and great forum. Well, thank you for the email, Cyprus, but am I reading into this that yeah, you can record on your iPod if you mod it or put Linux on it or do something. It doesn't do it out of the box. Is that what I'm hearing? Do you have an iPod, right, Coach?
I have a 3G, and to tell you the truth, I don't know. I've never heard of this before, but this sounds pretty interesting.
See, and this is maybe where technology passed me by because I don't have one and don't really care to have one anytime soon. I thought that was one of the reasons that podcasting took off is because, well, I've heard some podcasts where the guy's driving in his car, and he says, I'm recording on my way to school. There was one podcast that was great. It was for for truck drivers, 18-wheel truckers. And
I've heard that one.
Yeah,
I heard that one. It's pretty great, man.
And he's recording it while he's driving down the road or stopping at a truck stop, and he's describing, he's like, go to the way station. It's great.
Some of the things they've seen, yeah, absolutely. It's great.
I thought that you could record on them, so I don't know. Guess it's not that big a deal. And let's see. One more quick email, then we'll wrap it up. This last email is from Freak Mac. Freak Mac says, the red flashlight mentioned in episode 150 is not only good for low-light output, hard to see at a distance, it is also used by military, because when used at night, your eyes don't have to adjust back to the dark like they do with a regular flashlight. Oh, that's interesting. Blue and green lights also have this effect, but not as well as red. So, yeah.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
All right, well, here's what I use. Here's what I do. I have a Garrity flashlight that I wear on my side. You can buy these things at Walmart, Kmart, a couple different ones. I forget the model. It comes with lens caps. It comes with a blue one and a red one. You can switch them out. It comes with a high-power LED, and they're really small. It's a heavy flashlight. I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled it out of its little sheath there. It's called Garrity, G-A-R-R-I-T-Y. It comes with red and blue lens caps that kind of can accomplish the same thing for, get this, I want to say I paid $12.
Nice. You know anything? I've been looking at those ones that you shake that don't need batteries. You just shake it up to get the power.
It's great if you're in a jam. They really work like crap.
Yeah, I think I might drop some coin and get a real nice high-end one of those.
Do something like that, especially you're living here in Florida. You know, you don't want to get caught with your pants down when the hurricane comes through without light, so.
Baby, I've always got my pants down. And on that note, we'll close out the show. We'll close out this scary show with a picture of me. Everybody can visualize the dog with his pants down. If that's not scary, I don't know what is. And go to our shouts. I'll let you start off with the shouts this week.
All right. Let's see. I have some shouts to buddies from both the IRC rooms and that I've known. Let's see. I'd like to say hey to Kyle L., Verbal, Tom, Tio, CFH, Mikor, Zigman, who's never on IRC anymore, and Hack, and
Hack,
you know, lots of people I know, yeah. I'd like to say hey to everybody that I know.
All right, well, I'll definitely second the one to Verbal.
And to Biz, what's up, buddy?
To Biz, can't forget about to Biz. Definitely shouts out to Verbal and for helping out. He's been doing a lot of help out on some projects. Little confusion with him that's completely my fault, but Verbal, thanks a lot for helping out with that. Then to War, who's also been giving a lot of great help on Doc Droppers, helping getting some stuff organized and edited together properly. And,
yeah, War.
Thanks
definitely.
To...
Definitely, good guy.
To Mr. White. Mr. White, thank you for the email, which I didn't get to read on the air, but thank you for the email anyway. And speaking of Mr. White, that's a good segue into our site of the week, because I'm going to pimp his site, of him and the gang over at F-Bill Radio. That's F-B-I-L-L-R-A-D-I-O, F-Bill Radio. Go check them out if you haven't already.
F-Bill Radio.
And if you have any feedback, comments, complaints, flames, bitches, moaning, whatever, send them to us to radio@benrev.com. And our closing music, boy, I just keep saying and. Our closing music this week is from the Front a Little Squad, who is of course, a play on MC Front a Lot. Front a Little Squad, and this is the evil show, this is a song called Saving Throw, Dungeons and Dragons song, because we all know how evil Dungeons and Dragons is. Back in the 80s, I remember that was all over the place. It was all about devils and Satan worshipping and stuff, so this song isn't evil in any way, shape, or form, and I think as soon as you hear it, you'll know that. And
that's okay. We all say plus one verse fire here.
Yeah, exactly. So, Right Coast, thank you, my friend, for being on the show, and I will see you in a couple of weeks. At our
BinRev 407.
BinRev 407, representing Central Florida. And to the rest of you, we will see you next week. Same evil time.
Same evil channel.
With all the dice, I roll blow. Can I roll twice? I don't know what character to be, but magic's nice. Let me get this straight, you never played this?
I tried once or twice, but haven't messed with it in ages. I used to play the Bard's Tale, and that's about as close as I ever came to rolling for stats.
It's cool, I'll help you out, and Drew will too.
Hey, where are the Cheetos, and where's the Mountain Dew?
Have a look at the sheet, it's complete because I made it.
I need to be a bard for sure, because that's my favorite.
That can be arranged, we'll just change it on the paper.
And I'll give you some cool items if you're on your best behavior.
Here's where your hit points are, and here's your money. And the die that you'll be rolling the most, the D20. Bumble Core's in charge, cause he's a dungeon master, so listen to his story as we set out for disaster.
I put the magic in Magic Missile. Does that clear things up?
No.
Well, this will. I'm the D to the M man, the L Capitan. I'm the Dapper Dan, Trevor man, who's not a rapper fan, and I'm managing you and your clan.
That's us.
Telling y'all.
XP or bus.
And I trust, you'll dig, the setting of our story.
Is it somewhere that rocks?
Yeah, a quarry.
Roll the dice, and then tell me what it is. I want a 20. Please don't let it be a critical miss.
Warcraft patch day, time for D&D, I'm a fertile little mainstay. I've been chaotic neutral since age 10, fought the dragon's den spawn, men, I'm a star at Gen Con. Before we start, I'll tell you, no one better do me. me wrong. I'm suspicious of some antics as they happen in every song. I've had some teammates who know how to ruin a campaign, but I'm hoping FAL will give me a reason to complain.
It's true, I've never seen a bot play tabletop.
What about that cyborg?
I heard they made him stop.
So we're in the clear?
No, there's a problem here, the kind of thing that makes me say, what the fuck? See, there's a guy at this table, at this very game, avoiding battles, acting lame. It's like Hooty Who, he's stealing booty too.
So who is it?
Well, I ain't naming names yet.
Baccarat's onto something. He ain't frontin', there's a traitor at the table, and he's leaving us with nothing. We do all the working like a jerk, he takes the gold, and by the time we realize it, all the booty has been sold. And speaking of booty, I got a brownie for that ass. Is there a ranger in the house? I think we better check for traps. He's a tricky little mother, and I wouldn't put it past him. When we find out where he's hiding, best believe I'm gonna blast.
Roll the dice, and then tell me what it is. I want a 20. Please don't let it be a critical miss.
I'm on the case, fellow friends. Gonna assemble our own fellowship at the whoopers. Tribes are gonna clash. So break out some fear, guys. We'll bomb this charm and melt his tiny balls of brass. Gonna catch this one. Gonna step on his nutsack. Take another whack. And then listen to his head crack. Then we're gonna whack. DM says we're surrounded. We're astounded. Fuck. While our hippos are getting pounded.
All I know is that someone here is slacking. Hiding in the back cause his bravery is lacking. Now we gotta battle Venger one more time. Who do I see at the back of the line? Tycho staring at the tops of his shoes. You think that someone cast a spell that turned him into glue? How are we gonna triumph when all he does is parry? Time to get into this battle instead of acting like a fairy. I better get the deaf author in on this. I think the dungeon master's gonna be a little pissed.
Killer ain't chillin', let's focus, kill Tom Fate.
So it's Tycho with a tight flow, totin' syllables. Here's the syllabus, us is eminently killable. Goddamn DM, climbed onto my ski M. Hit my LJ, watch me post it like 3M. Every party's got a player like me. Rockin' treachery, best believe it. I'm out to get the best of the party I sold to that sentient mold. Subterranean arrangements, y'all would never see the day again. Geraniums on that casket closed. I'm up to my helmet, platinum and gold. But that dungeon master's a bastard. I seen him reroll my save and throw behind the game screen and incinerated by some lava trap with spikes in the front, spikes in the back. And for this you tore the corner of my character sheet. There goes my thief, like right click delete. Well, just wait until the character after this one. Shit, anachronistic with akimbo guns, motherfuckers.
And then tell me what it is I want.